Right now we're speaking with Kristen Scott Benson. She's going to be the featured guest at Lutzen Resort's Bluegrass Masters Weekend. This weekend there's a show at 7 p.m. on Saturday. She is the four-time Banjo Player of the Year with the International Bluegrass Music Association and the banjo player for the Grascals. How are you doing, Kristen?
I'm so great, Will. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. I read that you've been playing banjo since you were 13. So why? What drew you to banjo out of any instrument?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was raised in a family who loved bluegrass. In fact, my maternal grandfather was a professional mandolin player. So it was always around the house, and I started out playing mandolin when I was little, and then saw a specific band named Doyle Austin and Quicksilver, and they had a great banjo player in that group named Scott Vestal. And I was just taken by what he did and started asking for a banjo at that point. And then it took a few years before my parents got one and I was able to switch over. But ever since then, I've just been addicted to it.
So how long until you joined the Grascals from there?
Okay, so I joined the Grascals in 2008. So going on 10 years.
Are you touring most of the year with that group?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's this is, in fact, quite a departure, what I'm doing this weekend. Normally, the Grascals are extremely busy, and there just isn't time to do anything else. I might only get to do 2, 3, maybe 4 things on my own a year, just because the commitment to the band comes first, and it kind of takes a perfect storm schedule-wise to make something like this happen, but it worked out. So, yeah, the vast majority of my time, I'm with them.
How many shows do you do a year?
It varies. In our busiest years, we were playing about 150 days, not counting travel time, just the number of shows, and that is pretty overwhelming, and thankfully, the past couple of years we haven't been quite as busy. So I would say we're right around 80 shows a year right now, which is personally a pace that I like a lot better.
Yeah, I bet. Tell me about the latest album from the Grascals, Before Breakfast. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's exactly. It's brand new. It came out, I believe, in September. So it's the newest release from the band, and we're really excited about it. You know, we had a transformation just 2 or 3 years ago and had a lead singer change, which is a gigantic move for a band. Obviously, the face of the band largely musically will be dictated by who sings lead, and we're a 2-lead singer band. We have Terry Eldridge, who is a founding member and is still, you know, responsible for about half the songs that we do as lead singer, but we have brought in a young guy named John Bryan. And he has been a wonderful addition, and, you know, I think it's still kind of imprinting on people's ears when they listen to these new records to hear John sing. He's a great guy, he's a great talent, and, you know, we were able to survive a big transition because we got lucky and found him. So I think that's one of the biggest things about this album, Before Breakfast, is it's only the second one that features John. And I think it's a great representation of the trio, the vocal trio that we have.
Yeah, that's really lucky, because a lot of times when groups make a big change like that, it doesn't follow through very well. And so that's lucky that you found
him. We know. Yeah.
But you have solo releases as well. And so are those originals of your creation?
Yeah, so it's a mixture. On the Francis, the last record that I did on my own is called Stringwork. And it's half instrumental and half vocal. So, I did have some of the Grascals on it on a couple of songs. I did have Adam Haynes, our fiddle player, play on quite a few of the tunes. But except for one song, the vocals are, done by other artists. So that's one of the things that differentiates it. It's not, you know, just another Grascals record, because you could argue, what would be the point in doing that? I'm already playing banjo on those albums. So vocally, I brought in some outside folks who were gracious enough to come do it. And then as far as the instrumentals, I wrote 4 of the 6. It's a mixture as well. I did 2 covers, or actually one of them, had never been recorded before, but I didn't write it. Mm. And then one standard. So it's a lot of new instrumental music.
So how do you decide if when you write a tune, if you know this is going to be just a tune for yourself or one for the band, for the Grascals?
Usually the Grascals feature a tune that the mandolin player, founding member Danny Roberts of the Grascals. You know, the ones that I've written that were on Grascals records, it's usually a collaboration with him. So if I write it, you know, just on my own, chances are it's more likely to show up on a banjo record of mine than a band record.
Gotcha. If you're joining us right now, we're speaking with Kristen Scott Benson. She's the banjo player of the Grascals and is going to be up here at Lutzen Resort for the Bluegrass Masters weekend. And there's a show at 7 p.m. on Saturday. Now, I've listened to your music, and you can really just shred and play at a blistering pace. So do you like playing like a more traditional style or really kind of pushing the boundaries to see how far you can take the instrument?
Well, it's all perspective. You know, if you compare me, what I say to people is, you know, if you compare me to Bela Fleck, I'm Ralph Stanley, right? But if you compare me to some of the more traditional players, then I might be a little bit outside of the box. So, you know, it's just I think the original songs are very reflective of what I like, which is maybe just a more melodic approach to banjo, meaning melody-based, not necessarily stylistically. There's a specific banjo playing style that's melodic, and I don't mean that necessarily, but just more melody-driven tunes that I write. I'm not a huge fan of really fast tempos. It's not one of my strengths. I have to do it, and you always want a record to be balanced. So you want a couple of barn burners on an album, and certainly the Grascals do that a lot. That's not really where my heart is, though. It's more in the touchy-feely kind of original songs that I tend to write, and even vocally, if you listen to what I recorded on the solo record vocally, you know, a lot of more folksy Americana sounding stuff perhaps, but at the same time, what attracted me to the banjo and bluegrass in general was the more you know, North Carolina based traditional bluegrass is what I fell in love with. So I still have a heart for that. But individually as a player, I think I do tend more toward the, you know, just the more laid back, easy on the ears approach. But that doesn't mean that you don't always try to balance stage shows and albums with a little bit of everything.
Right, right. You got to get that flow going on a record and then, of course, keep the show going as well.
That's right.
Now, in your experience, has the bluegrass seen either in Nashville or that part of the country, has that morphed or changed at all over the years?
Yeah, definitely. It's, you know, like any other style of music, it's evolved. And bluegrass today is, it's really healthy, and it's diversified in a way that I think no one necessarily could have predicted. I think one of the hugest things that happened, I mean, if you look in the 90s, if you look at Alison Krauss and what she did for the mainstream consumption of bluegrass, she was one of the first artists in a long time who had really brought bluegrass to the masses. And I think that was a big lift for the music. I think the movie Old Brother, Where Art Thou, always, anytime something is featured in a movie that's successful like that, it's beneficial. But what I really think has changed it more than any other thing most recently is Chris Thiele, because mm-hmm. his band, the Punch Brothers, and him as an individual has inspired this whole new group and generation of musicians who come at bluegrass, or at least come at acoustic music with bluegrass instruments, so totally differently that it's really grown the music and just spun it in a lot of different directions. And, you know, I'm a fan of it all and welcome it all. So I think there are like entire, if you look at bluegrass now as a big umbrella, you know, there are entire factions of the music that didn't even exist 20 years ago. And I think he's largely to credit. He's just so remarkable.
Let's talk about the show coming up at Lutzen Resort. You're playing with a trio. Who's going to be joining you?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. There's musician Chris Jones, who most bluegrass fans, I think, are going to know all about Chris. He's, you know, band leader for a band, Chris Jones and the Night Drivers. So I just feel super blessed to have Chris come and play with us. And he's, you know, lived in Nashville for many years and still, I believe, still has a home there. But he's a northern Albertan these days. And so he's coming from Alberta, Canada. And then we have Patrick Sauber, who lives in Los Angeles, who's going, he's going to play mandolin as part of the trio. And this will be literally a unique configuration. We have never played together, the three of us. Now, I've played with Chris a lot through the years, even though it's been a while. But this configuration, I think, will be unique, and that a lot of people will get to see us, you know, for lack of a better word, wing it some. We, you know, we have a plan. We have a set list. We're kind of doing our homework on our own. But this will be a trio who has never played together. And due to the scheduling and how busy I am leading up to the show, you know, we might not even get to rehearse. So I think that's actually an opportunity for an audience to see something that's real spontaneous and different and fresh for the musicians. And hopefully that comes through and people love it. But, you know, I chose Chris because he writes most of his songs. And again, going back to the material that I'm drawn to vocally, he really embodies a lot of what I love about bluegrass. And I knew it would be fun to you know, to learn his material. And I was just so glad that he agreed to come play with me.
That's so exciting, because there's going to be so much jamming going on anyway. It would be great to hear something, you know, kind of a one moment type thing.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It will, even though we're, you know, we have worked and planned, and the show will feature a lot of original material, it will also be very much a jam session between the three of us, which can be unnerving. You know, as part of the Grascals, I'm so used to knowing what's going to happen, you know, and it's a very controlled musical environment, and this will be the opposite of that. So there's some fun that comes from that. There's also some stress that comes with that.
And I believe you're going to be teaching some of the classes offered as well.
That's right. Yeah. So if I understand it correctly, each year they feature a different instrument. And this year it was banjo, so they asked me to come teach a workshop. And it's an intensive workshop. It's from 9 to 5. And that's the reason I said there, it's doubtful that the trio will get to rehearse, because all day I'm going to be teaching a group of banjo players. And they the promoters of the event had a lot of really good specific ideas about what the workshop should focus on this year. So I kind of tailored some of my teaching material to fit the needs of what they had in mind. And we're going to talk, you know, all about banjo, all the way from beginning, you know, concepts to very abstract, advanced, you know, ideas about composing and other things. So I think there will be, you know, definitely something for every level of musician. That, you know, all the banjo players are welcome, because it really is going to kind of just skate across a lot of different areas that will, you know, appeal to people who have just started, as well as people who, you know, have played their whole lives.
And you can get more information about the weekend and those classes from NorthShoreMusicAssociation.org/bluegrass. And before we go, Kristen, I just want to know, what's next for you or the Grascals after the Lutzen deal? What's coming up next?
So next weekend we play in Florida and Virginia. And you know what? Beyond that, I don't know. I live on about a 2-week schedule. I know what comes up in the next 2 weeks, and beyond that, it's kind of a blur.
That keeps things interesting, I'm sure.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Well, we've been speaking with Kristen Scott Benson. She's going to be up here at Lutzen Resort this upcoming weekend, a show with a trio including Chris Jones and Patrick Sauber. And you can get more information of that online or on our website, WTIP.org. Thank you, Kristen, for joining us on the show today.
Thank you, Will.